church family, welcome to Church News. My name's Ava.
And I'm Caleb.
And we are so glad that you're here with us today. Caleb, what do we got coming up?
Small groups will be kicking off again in September, and that means that small group signups will be opening up in a few weeks. It's through small groups that we believe God has specifically designed for us to find freedom, build meaningful relationships, and grow together as the body of Christ. So be looking for small group topics and signups when they come out in a couple of weeks. We would love to see you in a small group.
Hey guys, I'm Jesse. I usually can be found out here at the welcome desk or in the lobby or with the greeters. That's where I serve. And I wanted to tell you about something exciting that we have new here at the church that is an opportunity for you to get involved. A little backstory: a couple months ago, I heard this testimony of a lady who was in need of a stove for her house. Like, she had been living for months without a stove, and her church heard about it, and they all kind of came together and raised money to get her this brand new stove, and she was just so blessed. And it got me thinking, like, how would I know if someone in my church had a need like that, and I would have the opportunity to help fill it. So we started getting the ball rolling on this blessing board we have out here in the lobby. And it's actually in a little hallway coming from the lobby to the main sanctuary. And you'll find these cards at the Welcome Center that say be a blessing or have a need. So if you have something that you would like to bless someone else with, something that's in good shape that you think could really be a blessing to someone, you can go ahead and fill out this card and bring it to the welcome desk, and we'll post it on the board. And if somebody sees that, they like it, they think, hey, this would be great for what I need, they can bring that to us and we can get you guys together to exchange that item. Or if there's something that you're really in need of, go ahead and write it on here and someone might just have it around. We just want to give you an opportunity to be the church with your church family and work together to bless each other. So if you have questions, come see me at the Welcome Center and we'll get you hooked up with one of these cards.
If you're ready to take your next steps at Only Believe, Growth Track is the perfect place to start. You can scan the QR code on the screen or head out to the Welcome Center in the lobby to sign up. Growth Track happens every first Sunday of each month, right after service, and it is a chance to learn about our church, the history and the vision behind it, and you get to learn about how God uniquely gifted you to make a difference here at Only Believe. And it is a perfect opportunity to say yes to becoming a member of Only Believe Church. And lunch and childcare are provided. So come ready to grow, connect, and to take your next steps. We cannot wait to see you there.
If you've decided to follow Jesus, then your next step is water baptism. Baptism is more than just a symbol, but it's a public declaration of your commitment to following Christ. It is an outward expression of an inward change. And this is why the Bible tells us that it's through baptism that we are participating in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So if you'd like any more information, or if you'd like to sign up, you can scan the QR code on the screen, or you can visit the Welcome Center in the lobby. We can't wait for you to take this next step.
Join us on July 27th for Family Sunday with guest speaker Eric Hamp. Childcare is provided for kids 3 and under. There will be prayer for all students heading back to school at the end of service. And then Aqua Grande will follow the 10 a.m. service on the East Lawn with water games, obstacles, and team competitions. Free food will be available for lunch. Flyers and sign-up sheets are at the Welcome Center for more info.
A simple invite card can change someone's life. Our invite cards are a super way to reach out to friends, families, coworkers, and neighbors and invite them to church. So grab an invite card from the lobby or the pews next to you and ask God who He would want you to invite to church. You never know how these invite cards could change someone's life.
And as always, for any more information on everything and anything we have going on here at Only Believe, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and they will answer all of your questions. Now, let's lean in and prepare our hearts and minds for what the Lord wants to speak to us today in the message.
Hallelujah. Amen. Good morning, church. Or as they say in other places, church. Good morning, church. Everybody happy today? Happy to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Good. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, before I start, this whole past week was serve week. How many of you guys was in serve week and did something? Raise your hand just so everybody could see. Man, it was fantastic. Over 150 of us served this past week in Serve Week, doing something all across the tri-state area, I guess you could say. So it was beautiful. A lot of people were touched. As a matter of fact, I heard that from the oil change. You never know, somebody got saved at an oil change. Wow, that's phenomenal. So I guess that oil was anointed, not just synthetic. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. That's beautiful stuff. So I noticed there was so many clothes that was taken yesterday, and people, when I walked in, they were praying for people and just touching people. It was beautiful. So thank you guys so much for Serve Week. It takes a lot of us to do what we do for the community and for people, and you did it. So thanks for taking your gloves off and helping people and not doing something just for yourself. It was good to be selfless, and it feels good to be selfless, and it feels good to serve, and it feels good to give. So thank you for doing that. It was a beautiful week, and obviously we'll be doing that again next year. So, and I'm sure it will expand like it did this year. Okay, so let's see. We just got done finishing the six basic doctrines. And so we have a couple free weeks here before we start another series. And so as I was just asking the Lord, what do you want me to talk about today? Two words came into my mind, and they were spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines. Now, I kind of knew what they were and what they are because we live them, but I had to do some research on that. And I'm like, okay, well, let's just go into this and see what spiritual disciplines are all about. So after I repented, I began to study a little bit on spiritual disciplines. And so that's what we're going to be discussing here this morning. Thank God that we did our six basic doctrines, because now we have a great foundation to build upon. So again, if we don't have a foundation, everything that's on top of it falls apart. So that's why we do this, because there's so many winds of doctrine out there, so much mess out there that people believe because they don't have that strong foundation. So I'm hoping that since we went through these, your foundation is stronger, and now we can continue to build on top of them, and you'll continue to grow, especially those of you that are new Christians that are just coming to the faith. So spiritual disciplines is what we're going to talk about. They shape our character, and they shape our character and help us, of course, I would just say, be good disciples of Jesus, if that's the word, if that makes sense. Disciples are Christians, okay? Not all Christians are disciples, okay? All right? If you're a disciple, then you're a Christian. You're doing what Jesus called you to do. And everything that a disciple does has to do with spiritual disciplines. And so this is why it's very important, because you don't just want to be a Christian, you want to be a disciple. We need to do everything that he calls us and asks us to do. Hello? Amen. Hello? I love it. Praise the Lord. Now, it seems like I always have some rhetorical questions for you, and today is no different. I have two questions for you. And again, I teach a little different than Nicole. She says that, of course, and we do. I want you to think. I want you to think about the things that I talk about, that I try to bring out of the Word, because I think these things as well. So my two questions to you today are this. How long have you been saved? So think about that in your mind. How long have you been saved? When did you give your life to Christ? And does your spiritual life represent how long you've been saved? Okay? You got that figured out? So I've been saved for 10 years. What does my Christian life look like in the past 10 years that I've been saved? So do I know even three scriptures that I can rattle off at the top of my head? Yes, I have one. Jesus wept. Great scripture. Shortest scripture in the Bible. You know, you should be able to know more than that one if you've been saved for 10 years. And it's not just memorizing a scripture to memorize it. No, it's to get it down inside of you so you can use it. So if you've been 5 years, the same way. You've been just saved a year. You may not even understand some of the Christian lingo that we talk about. So that's the two questions. As I'm talking to you today about spiritual disciplines, keep those in the back of my mind. How am I doing at being saved for 20 years? How am I doing? So as born-again believers, we should be continually growing in our faith. There is no retirement age from being a Christian. Well, I'm 65 now. It's done. I'll do whatever I want now. A lot of us do that when it's come to serving. I've served for 30 years. I'm done serving. Show me that in Scripture. It's not there. Now, you might be done in a particular area. I understand that. But you still should be serving somewhere. It's part of your spiritual disciplines. Amen? All right. Until we die, we should be growing in our faith as a Christian. There's no retirement age. Neither is there a stopping point for exercising spiritual disciplines, or you could call them holy habits, or I guess you could even say living righteously would be another way, I guess you could say, spiritual disciplines as well, practicing them. There's no age limit to stop it. Until we die, we should be doing this over and over. A couple weeks ago, we came back from Africa. Bam, had to come right into a funeral. He was a longtime member here, probably 30 years, maybe more. Herbert Burton was his name. Some of you may have known Herbert. He liked to come in, sit on the back row. Very intelligent guy. I went to see him at his house before he passed on to be with Jesus. And as I sit there, I am in awe of a man in his 80s who was still asking me questions for over an hour of how to better his life as a Christian. Dude, I'd have been asking all kinds of other questions. You know, I wouldn't have been going there. But no, for over an hour, he kept asking me, well, Pastor Andy, what do you think about this? And what do you think about the doctrine of this? And how do you think that I should do in this area of my life? This bro was practicing spiritual doctrines up until the point where Jesus came and took him. Wow, that's what we should be doing as Christians. I was in awe as I sat there. And of course, I kind of wondered too, at times, is he asking me questions because he wants to know something, or does he want to know if I really know what I'm talking about? So Herbert was smart. He was smart. Thank God he agreed pretty much with everything I said. Hallelujah. Amen. So Ephesians 4, 11 and 14, God has sent some help for the church. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. Are you the saints? Yes, absolutely. For the work of the ministry. So if you're the saints, you should be doing something ministry-wise. Okay? That's why we're equipping. For the edifying of the body of Christ. So we're not only for you to be doing something, but to help you, to edify you, to encourage you. That's what we're here for. Till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting. So Jesus has provided specific leadership gifts to you, the saints, the body. These leaders are not meant, of course, to be a separate elite class. They're not. But we are to empower the whole church. You. That's what we are to do, to serve and to grow with you as well. That's the goal. That's what he has put in place to help you as Christians and believers. Last week I was teaching at our Kitten campus. And we was finishing up over there on the doctrine of the laying on of hands. And one specific scripture that I want to put on the screen here, and I want you to leave it up there too, is Mark the 16th chapter, verse 17 and 18. And it says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I want you to notice what it says up there. That in the beginning, go back to the top. and these signs shall follow Christians. It didn't say that. These signs shall follow those who what?
Believe.
See, some Christians don't believe in healing. Some Christians don't believe in the laying on of hands. Some Christians don't believe that God talks to you these days. Some Christians don't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some Christians don't believe that they need a pastor or that they need the saints or the church. Lots of things that Christians don't believe. That's why it doesn't say all these signs shall follow Christians. No, these signs shall follow those that believe. The ones that believe will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Not Christians. Are you a believer today? Do you believe? 10 of you? 13 of you? Do you believe?
Yes.
Okay, that's what we're looking for. If you believe, here's the deal. And I'll tell you, some of you that are writing things down, write them down. John, this is for you. Get your pencil ready. He's got it ready. We do this on Wednesday nights a lot. Here's the deal. Something good. You might have the title Christian, but do you have the lifestyle of Christian? We can say what we want to say, but do we live it? Is that going to be you? Are you going to believe? So again, you might have the title, but do you have the lifestyle of Christian? There's so many out there today, they have the title, they ain't got a clue what a Christian really is and what they're supposed to do. Those who believe receive healing. Those who believe are givers. Those who believe receive the gifts of the Spirit. Those who believe, not just Christians. Bye, Lacey. Love you. That's my granddaughter. If you didn't know. The young one. Praise the Lord. That scripture also didn't say, and these signs shall follow a pastor. These signs shall follow an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, a preacher, a prophet. No, they shall follow those who what? That's anybody. Anybody who believes these signs shall follow them. So if you believe, then look at your hands. Look at your hand. Look at your hand. Now, if you put these hands that you have in your pocket, you know what they are now? Concealed weapons. That's right. Concealed weapons. Be careful, though. The safety team are watching, so get them out. Get them out. Get them out. I love that laugh. That was awesome. God doesn't want us to put these hands and keep these hands in our pockets. He wants them out, laying hands on people. Those who believe will keep our hands out of our pockets and do something. Laying hands on the sick. And they what? They shall what? Recover. Notice, it doesn't say that they will be healed. Man, there's a lot of stuff in this one scripture, isn't it? No, it says that they will recover. Recover. You know, Jesus laid hands on lots of people. And of course, some of them recovered quickly. I mean, instantly. But some lay hands, as they left, they were healed. You know, when we are in these conferences, in these overseas and doing all these crusades, sometimes we don't get the confirmation or their healing doesn't come until the next week or during the week. And then they'll come up that next night or the following night or four nights later and said, man, things were happening and now I am completely made whole. Now I'm completely healed. They have recovered. Hallelujah. So when we lay hands on people, if you don't see it immediately, well, hello, don't give up. They will be healed. They will recover. We laid hands on lots of people in Kenton 2 weeks ago when we were there. And some, man, they got feeling. They said, man, Pastor Eddie, I got stuff going on in my hands right now. And I had something happening. My feet are hot right now. I said, well, it ain't that concrete, that's for sure. It's the Lord, you know? I come back last week. How are you? Well, I can walk now. I almost didn't bring my cane today. Hallelujah. You will recover fully in Jesus' name. Amen. Those who believe. Do you believe?
Yes.
All right. Then you will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah. You have two certifiable lethal weapons on your body. Use them for the Lord. I'm excited. I hope you are too. Cast out them devils. Amen. All right. So my point is this. We have to get off the milk and quit being like children. We need to mature in our faith and stop following every wind of doctrine. And of course, now the crazy conspiracy theories that are out there. Do you know why that happened? Because of this. Oh, please. I don't want to sound like Pastor Dosick. Go, hallelujah. Stop it. Stop it. Just believe the Bible. Read the Bible. All right? We don't have to put dark plastic over our windows in 2 weeks because something's happening. Stop it. Hallelujah. If you're going to go, I'm saved. I'm going. I ain't putting nothing on my windows to blacken out everything. I'm just going to go right out there. I'm the light anyway. Okay. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. All right. Even one scripture, even our foundational scripture that we taught on for the last 6 weeks in Hebrews 6:1 starts out by saying, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ. Let us go on to perfection. In other words, it's great. It's a great start, but we got to mature. We got to move on. If we are Christians and been Christians a long time, man, we better be here according to scripture, not here. Paul did some rebuking too. You're supposed to be here, but I'm doing this. You're supposed to be here, but I'm talking to you like this. I shouldn't be talking to you like this. That means you have no spiritual disciplines in your life or you're not doing them, is what that means. So I want to read off some different scriptures and then we're going to talk about them. But there's certain statements or certain things that they say that I want you to think about and I want to point out to you. 1 Timothy 4:7, but reject profane and old wives' tables, tables, whatever, and exercise yourself toward godliness. Another translation says, train yourself toward godliness. Philippians 2:12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Okay. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. You get up here. Come on. Amen. It says, do you not know that my brain is going faster than my mouth? It always does. And I don't drink coffee. I do not touch it. Only water. Hallelujah. If I had coffee, you'd be in big trouble. Okay. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who completes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight. Not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Hebrews 5:14. But solid food belongs to those who are full of a full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And then 1 Timothy 4:8, boldly exercise, or bodily exercise, profits a little. But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Now, I believe, I believe that part of bodily exercise, I believe it includes running, don't you? Part of exercising is running, bodily exercise. I used to run. And a lot of you know this because you're mature in your spiritual walk, but those young, this is going to be a great, great discipline for you that you won't have to do anymore. Because when I was a young Christian, yes, I ran, okay, as part of bodily exercise. But then as I divulged myself into the scriptures, I found Proverbs 28:1 that says, the wicked run when no one is chasing. So I stopped running. I'm not wicked. I got the revelation. Hallelujah. How many of you are wicked in here? Stop running. Look behind you. Nobody's chasing me. Why am I doing this? I'm not wicked. Thank God for that revelation. But I do have a favorite exercise. I do. It's between crunches and lunges. It's called lunch. Yes, it's called lunch. Yes. My favorite exercise. And I know everyone in here exercises like that. Yes? Everyone. Yes, that could be your favorite exercise as well. Amen. Lunch. All right. Praise the Lord. That scripture is not meant to diminish the bodily exercise or the physical activity, but it's supposed to just emphasize rather the greater the value of godliness in that scripture. So bodily exercise is good, but godliness is much better. It's much greater. Amen. All right. But all those scriptures tell us to work out, to run, to discipline our bodies, to exercise, and to fight. And most of those are all spiritually speaking. Spiritually speaking. It's going to help us as the Christian, all around Christian. It's going to help us, of course, in our marriages. It's going to help us in raising our kids and dating and our finances, our jobs that we have, our business, our emotions. All this helps. And I think all of us would say that we try to exercise spiritual disciplines in our life, in the areas that we have every day. We try to. We try to be patient. Okay, how can I be patient with a two-year-old and a six-month-old running around? That's very hard to be patient, right? I try to do this or that spiritually, but it's very difficult. Let me say it this way. Instead of trying to exercise these spiritual disciplines, we should be training or exercising in them. Not just trying. When you try and you can't, you give up. Well, I tried that. I'm done. But when you continue to train or continue to exercise in this, you'll continue to do it. Because as you continue the spiritual disciplines, I failed, but you know what? I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to keep training. I'm going to keep exercising. Then you'll be able to succeed in it. People that just try, I tried it once. It didn't work. They give up. Too easy. We don't try. Let me say it this way. If you want to be radically transferred spiritually, then we have to discipline ourselves in the spiritual things. Discipline ourselves in the spiritual things. A lot of us can discipline our flesh when we want to. I mean, how many of you are vegetarians in here? Not many. This is a saved church. Praise the Lord, though. It takes a lot of discipline to be a vegetarian, doesn't it? I mean, I've never tried it, but I guess it does. What about a vegan? Man, how many are vegans in here? I mean, I salute you if you are. That takes a lot of physical discipline to be a vegan, or paleo diets, Mediterranean diets, all this dieting that goes on and on and on. It takes a lot of physical determination to stay on those, especially when you keep driving by Texas Roadhouse and smelling that medium well done cow. Woo! Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It does. You know, I've been a painter for 30 years. 30 years. I didn't just one day get up and say, you know what, I'm going to just start painting and I'm going to do it perfectly. Absolutely not. It didn't happen. Now, I can get up, take a paintbrush, dip it in a paint, go up and hit the ceiling where the wall is and go straight on that line with nothing and not touch that ceiling at all. Same with suspended ceilings. Just get up there. I look around at times. I see people put paint, tape on all the ceilings and everything. I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. You know, and that, but I did just say, I'm going to do this one day. No, 30 years of it. Get up, and I can just do it with my eyes closed almost because I continue to do it. I didn't just try and whoop, got on the ceiling. Well, I'm done. I can't do that. No, I continue to practice. And of course, it's made me a lot of money over the years as well. So that's why I still do it from time to time. But just like people who discipline themselves for strength training or endurance training, no one has ever ran before and gotten up one morning and say, you know what, today I'm going to run a 4-minute mile. Not going to happen. Very few people can run a 4-minute mile who trains a lot. Amen? That's the truth. It's not going to happen. Now, maybe Forrest Gump could do it, I guess, but nobody else could do it. He was one in a million, I guess. Tiger Woods practiced 10 hours every day to be who he was. 10 hours every day. Can you imagine 10 hours every day? And of course, our basketball hero, Michael Jordan. He shot 1,000 basketballs every single day in his 6-hour training every day. 1,000 basketballs every day. I got tired of looking at that ball. But 1,000 of them. He didn't try. He practiced. He trained to be where he was. Top athletes say that if they missed just one day of practice, that they could tell a difference. Just one day. If they missed 2 days of practice, their critics could tell a difference. Well, they're critics. If they missed 3 days of practice, their fans could tell a difference. Wow. That's how important practice and exercising and training really is. So those of you who are diehard sports fans, you probably read or watch the Bleacher Report. You will find a lot of athletes who were high prospects with high expectations who failed miserably, got paid millions and millions of dollars, and failed miserably. They were a huge disappointment because they were underachievers. Underachievers. Now let's bring this into our spiritual lives now. I don't want to be an underachiever when it comes to spiritual discipline. Why? Because we don't have a competitor who is watching us. We have an adversary who is out to get us. It's not a game to him. And he doesn't play fair either. He is out to kill, steal, and destroy. And he has fun doing it. He wants you to fail. He does not want you to succeed. So it's not a game. He's in it to win it. We need to be in it to win it as well. Hallelujah. Amen. So how can we tell what shape we are in spiritually? Okay? Think about these. How are you when the devil attacks? When he comes at you, full steam, do you resist him? Do you rebuke him? Or I don't even know how to attack the devil when he comes at me. Are you easily offended or are you teachable? You have a teachable spirit, or are you offendable? It's a big one. How are you when temptation comes? Whatever it might be, do you continually to fail in it? Are you weak, or are you strong in it? Are you a talebearer? For those of you who are new Christians, another word is a busybody, a babbler. And I thought this one was good too. A scandalmonger. Scandalmonger? That's a dictionary. A scandalmonger. You just can't help yourself. You got to go around telling everybody else's business. Mostly bad. Nothing good. That's a talebearer. Do you worry a lot? And if you do, what does it do? Tell me how it helps when you call somebody up. Well, I just worry about you, honey. Okay, how's that helping me? It doesn't. And the Bible says, don't do it. Pray about everything. How about you with fear, anxiety? Does it override you? Do you take authority over it? Does it have you some days and some days not? How strong or weak are you in character? Are you a person of your word? All these things, spiritual disciplines. And I'm not trying to in any way hurt you, harm you, or do anything bad. I'm trying to help you see where are we? How can we do better in this life, in our relationships, in our workplaces, just with us in general? Not to condemn. Reflecting on these questions will help you decide what areas you're weak in and what areas you're strong in and how you can work on them. Living this Christian life should not wear us out. It shouldn't. Yes, we have problems. Yes, we're going to go through things. Yes, things are going to happen that's bad, but it shouldn't wear us out. Jesus said, listen, you come and take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. So it shouldn't drain us all the time to live as a Christian, because Jesus is there with us, helping us, holding us up. I'm here. Take my yoke, he says. It's easy and it's light. I got you, he says. John 14, 26, but the helper, well, also, let me say it this way. Living the Christian life, Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. Just call on me, pray, get some spiritual discipline in you, and let's see what happens. I'll be able to take this on when it comes at me a lot better if I have some spiritual disciplines. If I don't, what's going to happen? You'll know. When the pressure comes, you'll know. And people will know around you. Hey, did you miss praying today? Yeah, just one day without prayer, somebody's going to notice. 2 days without prayer, your family's going to notice. 3 days without prayer, your pastor's going to notice. Hallelujah. That was all. I didn't even mean to say that. Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. We don't have to live this Christian life alone either, because God gave us a personal trainer, and his name is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with us. John 14, 26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all things that I said to you. The Holy Spirit will help us to become more selfless. The Holy Spirit will help us to love unconditionally. The Holy Spirit can give us a servant's heart. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 4, 7 says, train yourself to be godly. And our personal trainer, the Holy Spirit, will help us to do that. Train yourself to be godly. It all happens when we practice spiritual disciplines, when we keep practicing them. Well, I tried. Nope, we're not trying. We are practicing. Keep practicing. Keep doing it. We're not just triers. We're overcomers. Amen. Hallelujah, we're overcomers. Amen. So let's go over spiritual disciplines that we should already know and love here in the last time here that we have. The first two we all should know, even baby Christians should know this, and that's the intake of God's word and prayer. Those are, again, the foundations, the essential foundations of being spiritually disciplined, is reading that Bible and praying. Isn't there anything new, Pastor Andy, out there? No, there's nothing new under the sun. It's prayer and reading. Oh my gosh. Yes, that's it. That's it. Those are the two that are the most important spiritual disciplines that we should be doing. Ephesians 5, 26 speaks of Christ sanctifying the church by the washing of water by the word. The word cleanses us. It washes us spiritually. It renews us. Hallelujah. We renew our mind by reading God's word. We avoid false doctrines by reading God's word. Regularly engaging with the Bible can purify our thoughts, renew the mind, and bring spiritual growth to us, all by just reading the Bible, because it's life. That's pretty good, I think. Okay. Joshua 1:8 says, meditating on God's word leads to spiritual success by helping us obey God's commands and align our lives with his will. Meditating on the word. So let's say you have 10 minutes only during the day, just 10 minutes. Take 5 minutes of that, read something, and then take the other 5 minutes and meditate on what you just read. Okay? That will help you. It's better to read, I guess, let's see, how did I write this down? Okay. It's better to read less and remember more versus remember more and remember nothing. When we walk out of here today, you will probably only remember one or two things that I said in 30 minutes. That's it. One or two things. And it only might be one word, foundation. But God will bring those things back to your remembrance if you ask him. Amen? So 5 minutes only. We pray into ourselves everything God wants for us, and we pray out of ourselves everything we don't want in our lives. It's a good statement to write down. John, you're not writing. We pray into ourselves everything God wants for us, and we pray out of ourselves everything we do not want. especially it's worldly. As we pray God's will into our lives, we will become different on the inside. That's what prayer will do. Our thoughts will change, our feelings will change, our intentions will change when we pray. That will result in right behaviors, right attitudes, and other good attributes coming out from the inside. Reading our Bible and praying. The foundations of spiritual disciplines. Are you getting that?
Yeah.
Are you doing that? Okay, very, very few yeses. It's okay. Remember to allow your personal trainer, the Holy Spirit, to guide your prayers, prompting you to pray in accordance with God's will, not our own will. We went over this. Even if we don't fully understand how. And praying through the Bible will help. And I know that might be a little difficult. So we just let the Bible guide our prayer. So let's say, and I gave an example because this happens. Let's say you need healing, for instance. Okay, I need healing. Well, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go and find healing scriptures in the Bible. All right, and then the thing, next thing is wow, God, you're not only named God, but you're named Jehovah Rapha. You are our healer. That's one of your names. You have lots of names. So as I pray, Jehovah Rapha, you are my healer. And of course, according to Exodus 23:25, you said that as I serve you, you are blessing my bread and my water, Lord, and have taken sickness away from the midst of me. God, I bless you every day. I thank you that I honor you and that I love you. Thank you for taking sickness out of the midst of me in Jesus' name, because you are my Jehovah Rapha. That's praying. All right, find another scripture. And God, you said in Malachi 4:2, because I fear you, Lord, you come with healing in your wings. God, I am healed today. My body has been touched, God, by your healing wings because I serve you. I love you in Jesus' name. Thank you for that healing coming right now to me in Jesus' name. That's praying. That's reading through the Bible. That's praying through the Bible. Do that. It won't get boring that way as well. Thank you for this food. Bless it to our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. All right. Pray through the Bible. It will work for you. Are you getting something? Okay. All right. In many historical contexts, refusing to worship a king would lead to severe consequences, including punishment. Another spiritual discipline, of course, is worship. And we just did that today. We had praise and worship. So think about this. If you didn't worship a king who was a person, a human, you could die for it. And yet, we can't clap our hands for our Creator. Again, I'm not trying to be mean, guys. I'm not. I love you all. I love you all, okay? We won't raise our hands in submission to our sin bearer, who just sits there, stands there like a bump on a log for the one who gives us eternal life and sacrificed everything and didn't have to come to earth and do what he did for you and I. He could have wiped us all away like he did the first bunch. But he didn't. And so worship is part of this strategy that we need to be doing. You know, and the thing is this, is it's just 20 minutes of worship here, and you should be doing it at home too, and praising God at home. For just 20 minutes out of 10,080 minutes you have in 1 week, we get to worship together. Him. Set him apart together. Look over and see your neighbor praising the Lord. Wow, man, this feels good. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. 20 minutes, that's it. Well, I can't do that because I'm shy. You're not shy when it comes to shouting when the Buckeyes make a touchdown. Yeah. Or when them Bengals, buddy, when they score, you're up in the air. The popcorn goes everywhere. You know, this is just physical stuff. The Ohio State Buckeyes don't know your name. They'll never do anything for you. You continue to pay. You continue to give to them. They're the ones making the millions and millions of dollars because of all your wonderful shirts of the Buckeyes that you have on. Yet they'll never come to your door. They'll never lay hands on you. You'll never recover. But Jesus, hallelujah, what he did for us, 20 minutes of worship, we got to give to him. We got to exalt him. Spiritual disciplines of worshiping is what we should be doing. Can I hear something from somebody? Yes. All right, hallelujah. I'm here to remind the devil that he used to be a worshiper, but I took his place. Remind him of that every day. Sorry, sucker, you lost. Now I took your place. Now shut up and get under my feet. Amen. Come on. Amen. It's my praise. It's my worship unto God that is a sweet savor and a pleasing aroma to him. It's not just about the physical act of worship, but the heart and attitude that comes with it in our worship to him. We should also be practicing the spiritual disciplines of fasting. Ooh, I'm sorry I made it without cussing the whole service, but I had to. Is that a cuss word to you, Jim, fasting? Sometimes it seems like it, amen. Woo! People cringe at this spiritual discipline because we say it's so hard. I heard a story of a non-believer telling a Christian that he believed that Christians are just weak-minded people falling for a silly scam. So this Christian challenged him. He says, if you really believe that Christians are weak, then I challenge you to live as a Christian and obey the Bible for just 1 month. Just a month. If they are weak in mind, as you say, and you are not, then you should be able to do this with ease. Yeah. Well, we all know what happened. Within a few days, the man had given up the challenge and admitted that it was too difficult. In other words, he was not strong enough to be a Christian. Several years ago, a wife kept coming to the church and I kept asking where your husband was. Well, he don't come. He said, there's too many hypocrites sitting in those pews. Okay, well, there might be some of those. I get it because, hello, this is a spiritual place. This is a spiritual hospital. We're all learning and growing in different levels of our faith as long as we're practicing them and not just trying to be a Christian. And I said, well, why don't you tell that beloved husband of yours to come and show us all what it's like not to be a hypocrite? I did. You know, that bro came. I was impressed. I said, well, hey, good to see you. Yeah, my wife told me what you said. Well, I'm glad she did. And we are all going to stand back and just watch you show us what it's like to be a true Christian believer. You know, it didn't last for very long. And he was back out doing his thing. Too tough, too rough. Couldn't handle it. Fasting. In Matthew 16, Jesus says that when you fast, not if you fast. When you fast. Isaiah 58, 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every single yoke in your life? Fasting crucifies the flesh. And everybody can say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. What happens when you crucify something? It must die. You kill it. So whatever a stronghold is on your life, fast for it. It has to die. Crucify that thing. It has to die. Romans 8, 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Another word for put to death is mortify. Mortify. We mortify the deeds of the flesh. We put them to death, suffocate them by fasting. We can starve our flesh, mortify our flesh, put to death our flesh in different ways. And it doesn't have to be just food. Doesn't have to be just food. So I know some people fast television. Some people fast their cell phones. That's almost worse than fasting food. Where's my phone? Where's my phone? I gotta have my phone. Fast that thing. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Hallelujah. Find something and fast. And you will bury that thing that has you. That's a stronghold in your life. Fasting, spiritual discipline. Use it. It's a weapon. Okay, and then I ought to finish up with this. Attending the assembly. That means where you are today. Going to church is a spiritual discipline. Well, I'm a Christian and I don't go to church. Well, okay. Where's your corporate anointing at in your house? Is it there? No, it's not there. Not there. How are you serving in your living room? Did you come to serve week this week? Didn't see you. Didn't see at all. No one knows you. You're not accountable to anybody. But you have an answer for that. I'm accountable to God, and all I need is Jesus. Oh, I've heard it over and over again. Not true. Don't find it in the scripture. Look it up. If you're at home, look it up. It's not in there. If you have to be at home, I understand. But when you can be here, God bless you. If you could be here twice, you need to be here. Amen? You need to be here. Hallelujah. Yeah, God knows me. I'm accountable to him. That's all hogwash. It's disobedience. How are you helping others that need you and your giftings and your talents at home? We need each other. Where's your tithing going? It's supposed to go to the local church. Well, I give it to those speakers on the television. Nope, not scriptural. Well, I take mine up to the house up here and feed people with it. Nope, not scriptural. Not scriptural. That's what happens when you're staying at home. You're not listening to the word. You're not under a shepherd. Why was hurt at church? Find another one. Find another one. I heard somebody say on the internet yesterday, day before, church people can be the most hurtful, hateful, ungodly people there ever is. And man, I'll tell you, I wanted to do it. I am practicing spiritual disciplines. But church can also be where the most loving, tender-hearted, forgiving people are as well. There's always both sides to every coin. When you're hurt at a job, you have no problem finding another one of those. When you break up with your boyfriend or girlfriend, you seem to find another one. I'm going to be single the rest of my life. Yeah, most people who get divorced got hurt, but somehow find another one to marry. But you can't come to church because you got hurt there. Probably not as bad as you got hurt in the divorce. That's why you're divorced. Oh boy, am I hurting somebody today? Okay. If someone in the church or the pastor of the church has truly hurt you, you find another one. You don't just sit at home. Don't let the devil win. Because that's what he wants, guys. That's what he wants. Hallelujah. All right. Tithing and giving or others that we don't have time to talk about. Serving. We just did that this week. Hearing there's a need. Seeing a need. Taking the lead to fulfill that need is selfless. Without expectations or rewards. Hallelujah. Oh boy. You can find an exhausted list of spiritual disciplines on your own time that you need to do. And speaking of rewards in heaven, Matthew 6:19 says this, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." If our treasure in heaven were actually trophies and we were able to have a glimpse of how many trophies we had in our trophy case so far, how full would your trophy case be this morning? For how loving you have been, how many trophies would you have in that case? How forgiving you have been, how many trophies? Your faithfulness to all the spiritual disciplines that we just talked about, how many trophies would be in that case this morning? Would your trophy case be half full or just few on one shelf? Or would there just be no trophies and just a few ribbons? Who wants a ribbon? Or would there just be gold dust on them shelves? Because the streets are gold in heaven, so it'd just be gold dust. It's my brain, guys. It's my brain. It goes back to the first question I asked at the beginning of the service. How long have you been saved, and does your spiritual life represent how long you have been saved? Are you still on milk at 10 years? 20 years saved and still can't take solid food? Have you been saved 5 years and have not led one person to Jesus or not even attempted to be a witness, to be a true disciple? Again, I'm not condemning you. I'm challenging you today. God says he who wins souls is wise. Amen. It's wise. Spiritual disciplines are important for us. Start them today or continue them, grow in them to have a successful Christian life. And there's, again, no retirement for them. Up until the day we die, we should continue to practice them and serve others. Amen? All right, stand to your feet this morning. exercise, practice, train in those spiritual disciplines. And fight, as Paul said, run to win a trophy and not a participation prize. These kids these days, they got a participation trophy. Everybody got one. Jeez. Hallelujah. I love it. Man, we grew up eating dirt and everything else. These young kids these days love it. Praise God. I didn't get my trophy. You were in last place. Try harder. Not try. Continue to train. Continue to exercise. It'll get better. Now, come on, buddy. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. God, you're so good to us this morning. Hallelujah. We praise you. We worship you today. Hallelujah. As we do every Sunday, every time we're in church. If you're standing there today, you do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I have two things to tell you, and that is this. Number one, you can never work your way into heaven. It cannot happen, will not happen, and you cannot work your way out of hell. Cannot happen, will not happen. Well, God is good. How does a good God send me to hell? Listen, folks, He's not. You're already on your way there. He's trying to keep you from going there. We all had to make that choice. We all had to say yes to Him as we were convicted. Hallelujah. If you're convicted, you feel the pulling of the Holy Spirit today, and you're not saved, you're not a Christian, but you want Him. You want a relationship with Him. You want Him to change your life. You're tired of living the way you're living. Now's the opportunity. Now's the time. No better place than in front of a family who loves unconditionally, who's been where you are, and maybe worse, and God has turned their life around. Again, I don't take long for this because you already know. If that's you today, I want you to just stand up and come on down here. I'm going to meet you down here. I'm going to love on you. I'm going to pray for you. Anybody at all, say, Lord, that's me. I need Jesus. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen after the day. It's okay. He's got you. And we're here to help. We're here to help. Anybody at all? Going once. Going twice. Okay. All right. If Jesus came today, all that we'd be left on every pew and chair are clothes, right? If not, my keys to the Beamer are on my desk. You take it. My house is in Lima. Enjoy yourself. You're going to need it. Is there anybody here that has pain anywhere in their body that needs hands laid on right now? Anybody at all? Any pain? Pain. It's severe. Come down. Come down. If you have pain, come down right now. He's here to heal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else? Any pain? Pain. Lay hands on the sick and they will what?
Recover.
What?
Recover.
All my prayer team, come down here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, Father. Worthy to be praised today. Worthy to be praised today. Pain, pain, pain. Come on down, prayer team. You can go to anybody down here. They are certified. Their hands are certified as well. Lethal weapons as well. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, right now, God, this pain that's in this body, the cause and the root for it, I curse it in Jesus' name. Go, leave her body right now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, go. I thank you, Father, right now. God, strength, return to this body in the name of Jesus. All causes of pain and swelling and discomfort, go in Jesus' name now. I thank you for it, God. I give you praise for healing in the name of Jesus. That's right. That's right. Thank you for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything that is not supposed to be there is dead right now in Jesus' name. We give you praise and glory for it. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen and amen. Hallelujah. Continue to check yourself.
I will.
All right. We thank God that you're healed.
Yes.
in Jesus' name. All right, somebody else. Ron, sir, what's going on with you?
Well, my knees.
Okay.
My hips.
Knees and hips. Back sounds like a game. Head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Okay. All right. What do you think is going to happen when we lay hands on you today?
Well, I'm receiving the healing.
Absolutely. You're going to be healed. That's right.
See,
you're recovering in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Now, Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you right now. God, this back pain, God, the very root and cause of it, we command it to go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Right now, God, in these knees, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, for pain to leave, strength to come back in Jesus' name, in this legs and this body, God, just as you did last Sunday. I thank you for strengthening those legs, pain to leave. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you for full recovery of his body. Receive it now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Brother
thank
Ron.
You.
Amen. Healed. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Hi.
Your neck.
Right now, cervical and my head just keeps coming out.
Oh, good.
Like I'm in menopause now and my bones are starting to
Okay. I got you. All right. Change is okay, but it doesn't have to be painful. It doesn't have to be irritable or anything. Amen?
It's debilitating.
Yes, exactly. Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God, we come against, Father, the very root and cause, Father, of the pain that's in this neck, God, and shoulder area. Father, right now we curse it and command it to leave her body in Jesus' name. Pain, go. Come out. Come off of her in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for full recovery in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That neck to be healed, God, right now. Hallelujah. Healing, Father. Healing flowing in Jesus' name. I give you praise for it. And I thank you, God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Let us know. We need those testimonies. We need those testimonies. Anybody else? Father, I thank you for healing. Thank you for healing in people's lives. Healing right now, God. Hallelujah. Full recovery in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay. Sure, nobody needs Jesus here. Everybody's okay. I don't know. I just got, okay. Don't resist him. Don't resist him. Don't resist. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Father, we thank you for the congregation. We thank you for your people. We thank you for your word. God, it does not return void. God, I thank you for boosting us today. Boosting us today, Lord God. Hallelujah. Giving us some gasoline, Lord. High test from your word today, God, that we will start, or we will continue, or we will build on the spiritual disciplines that's in your word, God, that you will help us as we continue to train. In Jesus' name, I thank you for blessing your congregation today, blessing your people. Everywhere they go, every place they put their foot, they are blessed. They are light, light in the darkness today in Jesus' name. God, as they go this week, and we have our big Sunday next week, Father, with Aqua Grande and Family Sunday, that God, as they, by faith, take them cards and give it to somebody, that God, your hand will be on it. And that, Lord God, they will come and they will be changed, Lord Jesus. As we, by faith, God, do what we need to do, you will do what you need to do. God, we thank you, God, for people coming in from the north, south, east, and west to the spiritual hospital, Lord Jesus, to be touched, healed, trained, and God, set loose for ministry, to minister to others. We thank you, God. Hallelujah, that our hands are lethal weapons. And as we touch, Lord God, as we lay hands on, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, God, you will touch and heal and set free, and people shall recover. Thank you for your word, and thank you for your congregation. We love you for what you're going to do in people's lives this week. Amen and amen. All right, love you all. We'll see you Wednesday night. Thank you. Invite somebody for Aqua Grande. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, prayer team. Wow, that's a good one. That's a good one.
I got mad at God one time and quit praying.
Uh-oh.
I felt so bad.
Thank you.